Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we are dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz.
And I'm Emma.
And I'm here with Emma, and we're going to talk about pets some more because we had way more to say about pets than we thought we did.
I love it. So yeah, last week we talked about toys, mostly touched a little bit on clothing and our stuff that our pets might destroy, but we've got lots more left to say. What do you want to talk about this week, Biz?
Okay. Try to avoid those topics for the most part because we did talk pretty much all about that last week, but I did want to talk about some of the essential things such as, you know, food and poop.
My girls will tell you, Biz, that treats are also essential.
That's food. I mean, my cats will also tell you that treats are essential.
Cookies are top priority.
So, waste that goes with pet food. I know that you can get pet food bulk. You can, because I've seen it.
I've seen lots of pet food for smaller pets in bulk. I've seen dog treats in bulk. I haven't seen like dog food in bulk.
I have. I would caution that it's probably not great quality.
Yeah.
So bulk treats, awesome. They're treats. You're not supposed to give them a lot of them anyway, right? So whatever. That's a great way to reduce waste when it comes to treats. Food, I would probably suggest getting something a little bit better quality for your pets than probably what's at the bulk station.
Okay, yeah, I honestly haven't even seen it. But that's good to know because it alleviates a little bit of that packaging guilt for me.
Yeah, I mean, that is one thing that you can't really avoid. Now, I personally, when my cat food bag is empty, and this goes for my litter bags as well, bags become my garbage bags.
I love that. I remember you told me that, I want to say like a year ago, and I have taken that and run with it. That is so brilliant. I love it.
Yeah. Well, we don't use a ton of garbage bags because we use, if a chip bag comes into our life, we'll use that. We have bread bags, and I use bread bags for the litter, but we can get to that later. But any bag, I don't just roll it up and stuff it into another bag for garbage. It doesn't make sense to me. It's already a bag. Just put garbage into it.
I totally agree.
Instead of creating more garbage by buying garbage bags.
My dog food bags, I actually recently switched food, but I can tell you about what I did with my old bags before, but they didn't fit in my garbage can. They were way too big. It was like a 16 kilogram bag. So I actually used old topsoil bags instead because they're a really thick, sturdy plastic that I could use as a bin liner. And instead of just taking that bag and throwing it in my black bin, I've actually been able to just dump it out and keep reusing it,
right?
Which is what I can do with the new dog food bag because they are a very similar thick plastic. But I mean, even though you're already reusing it, it doesn't mean you can only reuse it once and then stop there. If it's like a really thick, sturdy, quality bag that you're reusing, which cat food, dog food, like it's going to come in a sturdy bag, dump it and reuse it. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it depends on what you're using it for, right? Because like,
well, now that we have like source separated waste, like food isn't going into the garbage anymore, so there's nothing sticky, there's nothing smelly, there's nothing gross
in there. For those of you who do live in Edmonton who are listening, you don't actually need to use bags to put them into your black carts. You do not, because all of your sticky, nasty, smelly stuff, as Emma just said, shouldn't be going in there. So all of your dry garbage shouldn't need a bag in order to go into the garbage. That being said, cat litter does. Cat litter still needs to be in a bag. And so this is where I alleviate some of my guilt when it comes to bread. Because, well, I mean, pre-pandemic, I had just started getting bread from a bakery. But then as soon as the pandemic hit, all of the bakeries started not letting you use your own bag. So then I was like, why am I paying $8 for a loaf of bread that comes in a bag anyway when I could pay $1.50 And then I have those bags to use for kitty litter, which I need a bag for anyway.
Yeah.
So you can't avoid it. You just can't avoid a bag that your pet food comes in. Pretty much no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
Guinea pigs and rabbits, like we had said before, you can probably get food for them bulk. If you have a guinea pig, make sure you're not feeding them rabbit food. The pet store owner and me just can't even help herself. Because guinea pigs don't make their own vitamin C and they need vitamin C. You can feed a rabbit guinea pig food, but not the other way around.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway, but as far as cats and dogs go, you pretty much have to get bagged food. There's not really any way around it unless you're feeding raw or you're literally making their food, which to me is too much work.
Yeah.
But I do know people who do it and they just make extra when they make their own meals and make sure that there's enough nutrients for their dogs that they're going to be okay and their dogs are happy and healthy. And if a dog food company tells you that they need to eat dog food, it's just meat and vegetables. Like they can eat what we eat as long as you're giving them like the right proportions, which may be slightly different than humans.
Like obviously there's some people food that's not good for them. And
yeah, I mean, they can eat chicken and they can eat peas and carrots and they can eat rice. Like these are things that they put in dog food. So
blueberries, beets.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to go that route, that is a good way to, I mean, because you can get a lot of that stuff without packaging. So that could be a way to get around the packaging for dog food. But cats are carnivores. So there is a little bit more, it's a little trickier there because they don't want the vegetables so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think making your own cat food might be a little bit trickier, but making dog food is not that tricky, but I hate being in the kitchen enough as it is, so I am not going to be making cat food for my cats. It's just not going to happen. I think you can get raw discs of frozen cat and dog food.
I've never heard of those.
I know.
I have friends that bought stuff from the butcher. Like they use all parts of the animal and they don't sell for human consumption. I think they sell for a raw food diet. I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know what the packaging for those is like, but it is another option to look into if possibly that would end up reducing your overall garbage in the situation. Treats. We said you can get treats bulk. So treats for my cats is catnip and canned food. So cans are very recyclable, highly recyclable. So I don't feel too bad about getting them canned food. They do not let me forget this, morning and evening. They know. They all swarm around me until I have given them their little plate of canned food. Little clowder of cats running underneath me.
That's your entourage.
I feel like that's a good way to offer your animals treats with something that's fairly recyclable.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for treats?
For treats, we don't usually buy them in bulk, unfortunately, because lots of the bulk treats are like very processed. Usually they have wheat. One of my dogs is allergic to wheat and corn.
Fun.
So I know it's great. So most treats that are available in bulk are like milk bones and stuff that have lots. Yeah. Like those are the first two ingredients.
Yeah.
So it's been good for their health that she's allergic to that, in that I tend to buy them one ingredient treats. Mm-hmm. Like I will buy them just pieces of beef or just sweet potato fries or
freeze dried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if we buy treats, they tend to come in packages. So I buy the biggest package that I can.
Yeah. And that's what I do with catnip as well. So I have a giant jar of catnip. Yeah. Like they don't get catnip that much, but it's a nice treat once in a while. I keep the lid closed and still doing its thing and had it for a while now. So I'm not too worried about it getting like overly stale. It's dried catnip.
Well, in Dower's, I actually have two of the bags from their beef treats. They come in, like we get them from Costco. They're like this big. I realize listeners can't see the arm gesture that I'm doing to show Biz right now, but they're a decent size. And I've been trying to think, they're really sturdy bags. They've got a zip seal. And I'm just trying to think of how else I can use those.
Yeah.
They're a little bit too big for most of the food I would want to buy bulk. Maybe like chickpeas or lentils or something that you'd hold on to for a really long time because it's just dry food and it keeps.
Stuff like that. I mean, it's good to reuse it if you can find a purpose for it, but eventually you're going to have way more than you need regardless.
I already do.
Yeah.
Like I have, I think, 2, maybe 3, and I'm just like, what am I going to?
And at that point, I personally am like, there's no point in holding on to this. This is silly.
Mm-hmm.
The waste guilt, like, you just got to let it go.
Yeah.
Well, if you deem that these treats are necessary, you just got to accept that that's part of what you're doing.
But I mean, there are times, like in the winter, I haven't been doing this as much lately because this is not pet related. It's plant related. I've been dealing with some infestation, so I haven't been wanting to give cuttings of any of my plants because I don't want to give somebody like thrips or I don't have mealybugs right now, but I just found one somewhere. So, but usually, especially in the winter, if I'm giving somebody some plants, I want to put them in a plastic bag, which I never want to buy, and insulate them with like some air and stuff. Mm. So they're good to hold on to, even though I won't use them right now, even if for giving plants down the road.
Are those big enough for that though?
Oh, they're huge. And I'm not giving away like a giant whole plant. Like usually it's just cuttings and then they'll root them themselves
at home. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you know that there's something you can use it for, that makes sense. But if you just have like this pile of bags that you're holding because they could be good for something at some point, like at some point.
By diverting it from landfill, you're just turning your home into a landfill.
That's right. Yeah.
You're not giving any offers. Yeah, I totally agree.
It might be a sign to try to find another solution maybe, but if you can't find another solution because it's not available, well, there's not much you can do about that. You're doing your best.
Speaking of other solutions, I have decided, I think I told you in a past episode, somebody from my Buy Nothing group passed on a dehydrator to me. Yeah. And I am starting to experiment with making dog treats in that. So like my girls love squash, any kind of squash, especially pumpkin.
Do you want pumpkins?
So I still have some because I bought 3 sugar pumpkins thinking we would carve those at Halloween, but nobody wanted a little pumpkin. So we did our giant, giant pumpkin jack-o'-lanterns. And I saved all the pieces we chopped out of that and sliced them up and put them in the dehydrator. But they basically turned into pumpkin sprinkles. Like they are, you don't realize how much is water. Like these were big slices. They were like the size of the palm of my hand. Well, maybe not quite that big, almost. And then by the time they're dehydrated, it's like the pad of my thumb. So I was just sprinkling that on their food for like a special treat with breakfast.
It's also very good for fiber for their digestive system.
They love it.
They love pumpkin.
Definitely slice bigger pieces for them. I want to try dehydrating carrots. I want to try dehydrating.
If I slice up my pumpkins and dehydrate them and then give you the chunks of dehydrated pumpkins, will you feed them to your dog?
100% I would.
Excellent. Because I just
100%
my pumpkins are still sitting there that I had the full intention of chopping them up and cooking them and then making muffins or something. Turns out my husband doesn't like pumpkin. I didn't know that.
If you make, because mine doesn't like pumpkin either, but I made a pumpkin loaf. I used a recipe for zucchini bread and used pumpkin instead because lots of the recipes for pumpkin loaf call for like pureed or canned pumpkin or pumpkin pie filling or weird stuff. And I just wanted it to be straight raw squash. Mm-hmm. So I looked at the zucchini bread recipe instead. Throw some chocolate chips in there or cocoa powder and he'll love it and he'll have no idea. If you don't use the like pumpkin spice, like the cinnamon, nutmeg and cloves, he won't even know that it's pumpkin and it's delicious and moist. It's so good.
No, I feel like he'd be onto that. Oh. Anyway, it doesn't matter. If your dogs will eat my pumpkin, I will do that for you.
They will love pumpkin.
Well, absolutely.
I will accept the pumpkins, but I already have 3 that I need to
I will dehydrate them for you.
You're an angel. Totally. I'm in. Count me all the way in.
Okay. Excellent. That makes me happy. I will eat the seeds happily.
But know, dehydrating is great for package-free, low waste. It makes it easy, like in the summer, to do stuff that's grown locally, even in your own garden. So you can really, really eliminate your treat footprint by making your own like one ingredient, easy peasy things.
And dogs love pumpkin. I have yet to meet a dog that doesn't like pumpkin.
Same.
Like, it's good for them. They like it. You can definitely get pumpkins plastic free because that's how they come.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I love it. Dehydrate pumpkins. Give those to your dogs for treats. Brilliant.
Oh, you know what? I used to, and I actually called my vet because I wasn't sure. I used to make my dog's treats using pumpkin, or not pumpkin, we're just talking about pumpkin, using bacon grease. Like, okay. Instead of using butter or fat, I would substitute it with some bacon grease in the recipe. But then I was like, what else can I use this for? Maybe I can make my own suet for bird feeders to help them through the winter. And I reached out to this woman on Instagram who's like a local bird expert. And I was like, hey, I was thinking of doing this. I just wanted your opinion. Like, is this something that would be safe for them? Is this a way I could use it? And she was like, no, don't do it. I think it's like a carcinogen. It holds a lot of like the bad stuff, like from the meat from pigs. So she's like, don't do it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I mentioned that I had made it for my dogs. And she was like red flag, red flag. So I called my vet and she said, yeah, don't, it's as bad for them as it is for us. So if you are thinking, or any of our wonderful listeners are thinking of making their own dog treats, like following a recipe, even if it's a recipe you found online, which mine was, it might not be good. So if there's an ingredient that's kind of raising a red flag,
call your vet. Do you know what we used to do with bacon grease growing up? We used to use it as fire starter.
Oh, clever. But wouldn't it go rancid? Like, if I make it now and it wants to get us through summer.
Bacon grease?
Yeah.
We just kept it in a jar under the sink throughout the winter. And then in the springtime when we had fires in our yard, we would use it to start the fires. Or when we were camping.
That's smart.
We would use it to start the fires because it would burn really well.
Oh, I like that. I was thinking, as soon as you said fire starter, another friend of mine used to make fire starter using the lint from her laundry machine. And I think she would pour like wax over it. So she'd have it in like little ice cube trays.
I'm making a face.
You're making a face.
I was going to say,
that's a no. Is that a no?
Because dryer lint is not, it's like plastic.
Yeah.
So you're burning plastic.
You're right. Yeah.
So unless all of your clothes are like cotton and wool and linen and bamboo, and you're actually maybe not even bamboo, because bamboo, once it's actually processed and turned into clothing, is barely bamboo anymore. But like, unless you have all natural clothes, I don't know if I would do that just because you're burning plastic.
Oh, I never thought of that. Good call. Because here I was going to say, I wonder if you could use dryer lint and bacon fat. Nope, just bacon fat.
I mean, if dryer lint from your towels, which are probably all cotton, sure. But
yeah, that would work. And I wash my towels separately with my rags, which are all flannel cotton as well.
Yeah. See, that, as long as you know that your lint is not plastic, sounds like a great idea to me. But I would question the burning of your polyester fibers.
That's a sentence I did not think I was going to hear today. I would question the burning of your polyester fibers. Good call. Well, that's slightly off topic for pet waste, but
right. Let's scoot back to that. Okay. So treats. Anything else on treats?
I think that's everything I had jotted down. Like, if you're buying them in plastic, buy the biggest size you can. If you can make them at home, do that. Make sure the ingredients are all cool. I like that yours come in tins. I never buy wet dog food for the girls. They always have dry dog food. And using the packaging for the...
Yeah, and I imagine that the wet food that they eat supplements their dry food.
Yeah.
And because cats don't tend to seek out water, it can be better for their hydration. But wet food's more expensive, so
yep.
The two of them together, like, they always have dry food to eat, but then they get wet food twice a day, and they're happy, and then extra little treats for them.
Perfect.
When it comes to poop, cats and dogs are a little bit different. So when it comes to cat litter, my litter of choice is wood stove pellets.
Is what?
Wood stove pellets.
You can use that as litter?
Yeah. So you can get the exact same thing in the pet store for 3 times the price. But if you just go get wood stove pellets, they work just the same.
That's brilliant. Where do you find those?
Canadian Tire has wood stove pellets that are made here in Alberta.
Oh, brilliant.
So that's the ones we get. And again, we use the bag for garbage that they come in.
Mm-hmm.
I believe wood stove pellets are made from like lumber manufacturing byproduct. So kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it's biodegradable, even though I have to put it in a plastic bag to put it in the waste system. But I can't get around that. So it is what it is. Yeah. The used stuff, so the stuff that's been wet, just turns to sawdust. And then you scoop the poops out. And I have like a sifting litter pan.
Yeah.
So then I sift all the sawdust out the bottom. And then the remaining dry pieces are still in there. And I just scoop the poops out.
Awesome.
That's the best choice that I have come to the conclusion for me. It also seems to be good for smell.
I have a question for you. I'm just thinking, seems to be good for smell. We need to unpack that. The question, which is kind of related, I have a friend with a very clever cat, and they were joking about teaching him to use the toilet. Mm. But then she said, I read somewhere that it's not good for cats, but I don't know much about that. Like, I need to look into it. Do you know anything about this?
I don't cats see. Why would it not be good for them?
I don't know. Like, my first thought was, like, do cats sometimes fall in and then can't get out? Like, what if you're not home and your cat's stuck in the toilet? That's all I could think. But I don't know. Like I said, I've never
heard. I can't see anyone's toilet being big enough for a cat to not be able to climb its way out. I mean, if they fall in after they've peed and then they scare themselves and run around your house full of pee, I mean, that's not really ideal. But I've never heard of, like, I've never heard of that happening. Granted, I don't know a lot of cats that use toilets. I have heard of them and they do exist. They are out there. That would be the number one way to have zero waste when it comes to your cat litter. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Because cats are not pleasers like dogs are. They don't care if you like what they're doing.
Yeah.
They will do whatever is easiest for them for the most part. And it takes a lot of patience. A lot of patience. Because cats don't do well with change. So you have to like move their litter box a little bit at a time for like 2 weeks. And then you put the litter box on the toilet for 2 weeks. And then you put the like litter box insert into the toilet for 2 weeks. And then slowly there's like this little thing you can get that has pieces that come out of the middle. So that there's a hole that slowly gets bigger until it's the size of the toilet seat.
Interesting.
It's a lot. It's like a 2 to 3 month process minimum. Minimum. To train a cat to use a toilet. Like, it's a long, drawn-out process. You need a lot of patience, and there will probably be accidents because they'll get pissed off and they'll try to find something else to do. Like, it's doable if you understand that you have to be really, really patient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But yeah, that would definitely be the number one way to not have any waste with your cat litter. Other than maybe if they have freedom to go outside and they only go outside.
Yeah.
And you don't piss your neighbors off because they go in their garden or something.
I think that's really clever that you've started buying wood stove chips, though. And like, it's a byproduct. It's locally made. So if your cat's not going to go in the toilet like a human, I honestly don't think there would be anything better than that.
Okay, so there are cat products. Like, clay is generally awful. So it,
why?
Because in order to extract the clay for the kitty litter, it requires strip mining. There's research on clay. You can go read into that more. I'm not going to get into it now.
Yeah.
Clay is generally just eco-friendly.
Interesting.
So then I used to use Sweet Scoop, which is made from wheat, which I was highly allergic to. I don't know why. Like, I can eat wheat, but man, if I had to breathe it in, I sneezed like crazy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was, I couldn't scoop the litter without like, my chest hurting from sneezing so much.
Yeah.
So that didn't last too long. It did manage. It was good for the smell. It did tend to keep the smell down. And it clumped well. So if you aren't allergic to wheat in that way, Sweet Scoop is good for clumping and doesn't smell bad. Then I went to corn. And there was a corn-based, which was better because they used like the corn cobs and like the extra stuff.
Oh, cool.
But it like stunk. It smelled so bad. I don't know what it was, but it just did not contain the smell at all. It was awful. So then we were doing some research and we discovered the pellets and we're like, well, why is this any different than wood pellets? And turns out it's not. It works just the same. So
fantastic. I didn't think ever, like, obviously I knew like people with cats have kitty litter boxes, but I didn't think of how much waste that entailed.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot to stay on top of.
Yeah. And, like, as far as the litter box itself, yeah, my litter boxes are plastic, but I don't really plan on getting a new litter box in the next decade. So, you know, it's one of those durable items that doesn't...
Well, yeah, and I don't think that all plastic is bad. I think that we need to make sure we're using our plastic items responsibly and sustainably. It's not like you're replacing a plastic lining every time you're changing your litter, right? Like, that's one item that you'll have for a very long time.
I also don't see the problem with using a used litter box. So if you need a litter box, try to reach out to your Buy Nothing groups, Kijiji, Buy and Sells, Marketplace, etc. I'm sure somebody has too many litter boxes. Maybe they used to have a cat, or maybe they changed litter boxes because they wanted a sifting one and now they have a regular one. Whatever, I don't know. But somehow I feel like there's got to be more litter boxes out there than there needs to be.
Yeah, like laundry baskets. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, dog waste is a different story. So our girl let outside. We used to clean it up ourselves, but lately, for the last, I want to say like year and a bit, we've actually been hiring somebody to come and do it once a week, which has been incredible. So at home, it just goes into, if it's bagged, the black bin. If it's not bagged, the green bin. And then at the park, we use doggy bags, which I was able to find some that are made 100% from corn. So they're not plastic. They're still like a bioplastic, I guess.
I want to just stick in there while it's in my head that you cannot put cat litter unbagged in your green bin.
Yeah, I was thinking of that, actually highlighting that when you were talking about how you need to put it in the bag. You need to put it in the bag.
Yeah. So you said that dog poop unbagged can go in your green bin, bagged can go in your garbage. But cat litter cannot. Cat poop is different. Do not put that in your green bin. Okay, continue.
No, I think that's super important. And I guess this is, like, we are an Edmonton-based journey, but I'm sure that's different in different municipalities. Like, even in neighboring cities or communities, that might be different. Maybe dog poop has to always go in.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's probably never acceptable to put cat litter in compost. You do not want that anywhere near your food because I don't know, there's some, I can't remember the name of it now, but same reason that pregnant women should not be doing litter boxes. Mm-hmm. Cat litter specifically needs to go to the landfill.
Yeah. And dog waste, I don't know.
As far as I know, dog poop is okay to go into your green bin. So I imagine that it can be composted elsewhere as well.
Okay. Good call on highlighting that. So if it's bagged, black bin, unbagged, green bin. At the park, though, it really, like, I struggle with these biodegradable, like, corn bags, because even though that's what I'm using to pick up my poop at the park, I'm still putting it in a big plastic bag. Like, I know that that is going to landfill. That's not getting composted.
Yeah.
So in one way, it's like, well, this is kind of like, what difference is it making? It's not stopping any of that happening. But at the same time, it's not creating demand for virgin plastic.
Yep.
even though the waste is still not being affected at all, the waste produced is not changing, at least the demand that I'm placing, like that's creating demand, right?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And here in our municipality, like those compostable dog poop bags need a very specific environment in order to decompose, which Edmonton does not have.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the compost facility says that you can throw in the BPA certified plastic bags, specifically BPA certified, like other composting bags will require different environments to break down. And some of them require UV.
Yeah.
Which our composting facility here in Edmonton does not have. It's an anaerobic digester. So it's all in blackness. So it will not break down in our composter. So I would encourage anyone who's listening outside of Edmonton to check to see how your city compost works and what they will accept.
Yeah. And anyone who is listening in Edmonton to double check that it is EPA.
Yeah.
So I actually don't know with these ones, but like I said, I know that they're not going into the green bin anyways, even though those are the ones that I'm buying.
Yeah.
Because even like if I am to clean up their waste in the backyard myself, I'm just scooping it up with a shovel and plopping it into the green bin. So I don't have use for a plastic bag when I'm cleaning up their waste in the backyard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's all I have to contribute to the poop discussion. That's what I was saying. Like, I didn't realize how complicated it can be for like you've had to research this and try this and do that. And I'm just like, I just try not to buy plastic bags.
I mean, you can't really get around needing a bag when you're out and about because you can't help your dog squatting on the sidewalk. There's not much you can do about that unless you just don't take them there. But
you can also use like a old newsprint or like journal or flyer or something like that if you are picking it up instead of getting a plastic bag.
You mean in your yard?
Or at the dog park, like if you have that with you instead. There are garbages everywhere, so you're not having to carry it very far.
Yeah, for your yard anyway, I know that they make like the scoop and shovels. But yeah, just, you know, do your best, right?
And pick it up. Don't leave it. Yeah. That's not the best option.
That is not the best option. I biked over poop the other day.
And it made me sad. No, yep. That would make me so sad.
And in that moment, I was like, oh, I am so grateful for my fenders right now. That was not pleasant. I had to like pick dog poop out of my treads so that I could bring my bike inside my work and my home. Pick up your poop. Not grooming.
Grooming. That's all you, girl.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as cats go, I have short-haired cats, so I don't even have to brush them. I have only had a couple long-haired cats ever, and they require brushing. Combs are usually fine. You can usually find just metal combs, and that's good. Mostly all I have to do with my cats is trim their nails.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my dogs hate that. They hate that so much.
Use a Dremel.
You can't. That's the like battery operated like file, right?
Yeah.
No.
I'll come do your dog's nails.
That's a torture device.
I'll come do your dog's nails. It's fine. This is fine.
Good luck. Actually, with Millie, it's not so bad because her nails are clear, so you can see where you need to stop. Mm. But Coco's nails are black, and I'm always so terrified of hurting her. And you would think that we're sending her into like a medieval torture chamber anytime we try to trim her nails.
As a groomer, I actually prefer the black nails because you can see from the end of the nail where you need to stop more easily.
How do you mean? Like from underneath?
From the tip that you're cutting off, looking at the very end. So with a dog with really long nails, I would use like the cutters to snip them off. But then I would use the Dremel to shave like a little bit off at a time.
Mm.
And with the dark nails, it's dark. And then you know how there's like that white kind of almost powdery inside to that black. And then as soon as you get a dark spot in the middle again, you stop.
Oh, interesting. So, but you would need the Dremel to be knowing that. If you're using the Dremel. The
clippers. Yeah. If you're using the clippers, you can't get as short without risking getting too short.
Yeah.
But with the Dremel, you can get quite short. And if you can get to that point, you can, that quick inside the vein that's inside that actually bleeds can recede. Because if your dog's nails get really, really long, that quick gets longer too.
Oh,
and then you can't cut it back as short. So if you use the Dremel and get it right up to the tip of that, that quick can recede again. Or if it's gotten out of hand, like really out of hand, and you just like, because long, long nails on dogs is really hard on their paws.
Yeah.
If it's gotten really out of hand and you want to like relieve that pressure on their toes, then you can take them to the vet where they will cauterize them really short.
Oh.
And just start over.
See, and when I was asking my vet, because I hate doing Coco's nails so much. So usually when Coco has to go in, her vet's lovely and she'll do her nails for us while we're there. But she was saying when you cut, and I think I misunderstood, because what you were describing about the quick receding, somebody had told to me, like, if you cut it, then it will start to recede. Like if you cut it a little bit too short.
Mm-hmm.
And the vet was like, no, don't do that. That's like cutting off tips of their fingers.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to do that. That's why I'm saying, like, if
it's interesting hearing you talking about the Dremel just before.
It takes a while, and you would have to like keep them trimmed at the very, like, at least every 2 weeks.
Butting
back to that quick, but it can recede if you do that.
That's so interesting.
But yeah, if it's gotten way out of hand, it might just be better to get the vets to chop them back and cauterize them and right, just to relieve pressure from their paws if it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the girls definitely are overdue for a nail trim.
I'll come trim your dog's nails.
Oh, would you really?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, I would love that. You have no idea.
When I deliver you some denim and pumpkin, I'll come trim your dog's nails. Yeah. As far as grooming practices, grooming isn't really too wasteful, except the hair.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
I go through garbage bags and garbage bags of hair as a groomer, but...
But there are different products that you can use. And honestly, the ones that are super wasteful or super, like, chemically are probably not the best option for your pet's health or skin.
Yeah.
So even finding, like, shampoos that are more natural, like, last time I bathed them, I used Castile soap, my like lavender scented Castile soap on them diluted.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked well. It doesn't like lather as much as some shampoos, but I mean, it did a wonderful job cleaning their coats. Like, I mean, we can use it for dishes. You can use it for body wash. You can use it for a shampoo. Like, it's really, really versatile and pretty gentle.
Yeah. The one thing I would caution if anyone is bathing their cat, do not use tea tree oil.
Oh, interesting. How come?
It's toxic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
But a lot of products, like, just pick something. I would recommend just picking a shampoo that you get from the pet store that says for cats, because there are a lot of things that you can't bath your cat and dog with that are, like, dangerous for them that we use every day. It is worth a conversation with your groomer to see if their business... If you want your grooming practices to be as eco-friendly as possible, then pick a groomer who cares.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't have any control about what happens behind closed doors, right? Like, so you want someone you can trust and someone who is going to try to do the best behind the scenes with their waste. Because...
Yeah. Well, and you know what? That's not only good for you and your peace of mind, it's good to be supporting that type of business and creating a need for that in our economy.
Mm-hmm.
Like hiring people that are mindful about that or choosing somebody that does care about that is a really, really powerful way that we can vote with our dollar.
All right. Are you ready for wine, cheese, and dessert?
I am.
We are definitely over time for that. All right. Do you want to go first?
Sure. My wine, I actually kind of, I think I said it outright in the start of our last week's episode. My wine is with Millie. She's a rescue. I love that she's a rescue. Totally adopt, don't shop. It's the best thing you can do. However, we were told that she was a medium-sized non-shedding dog when we adopted her. We love her to the moon and stars. Would never change anything about her, but she is definitely a very large, very furry, very sheddy dog.
Yeah.
So that is my whine.
If you adopt a rescue and they say it's non-shedding, just don't believe it. Like, you are not... You are not going to be guaranteed a non-shedding dog, even from two mutts that don't shed. If they make a baby, they might have genes in their background that come out in that baby. So if mom and dad are non-shedding dogs, if they're mutts, may not make a non-shedding baby. Okay? It's just a risk you take.
Lesson learned.
So my whine is that when we moved into this place that we are in now, the one thing that I was like, eh, is that there are carpets. And I was hoping to get away from carpets from where we moved from because as a sewist, like, it's really hard to vacuum thread out of a carpet. I just generally don't like carpet. It's dirty. I don't like it. My whine is, well, that's part of my whine, but the acceleration of my whine is that one of my cats has decided that it's a good litter box in a specific spot.
I'm struggling with that too right now. 100%. So
I have caught her on camera because, of course, I have three of them and I don't know which one it is. So now I've caught her and I figured it was her because I thought she was thought that maybe because she got locked in the room when the kittens first came that she didn't feel safe going to the litter box, which was on the other side of the house. I now have a litter box in this room, but she still seems to go on the carpet. And so now that I know who it is, I can actually like punish her for it. But I couldn't just like arbitrarily pick a cat at random and hope I was getting through to somebody. So I finally caught her on camera. Anyway, so that is my whine.
Sorry.
But that means that I will probably get rid of my carpets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the worst. And that's something that like baby gates aren't gonna.
Not for the cats.
No. Mm-mm. No. That's not a solution for you.
No.
Oh, I hope it stops soon. And I feel like once the scent is there, they think that's like.
That's the thing is you can't. Once the scent is there, it's really hard to get the scent out. And once the habit forms, it's hard to get that habit out. I had caught her once peeing on the couch for one time, but I caught her the first time it ever happened. I caught her right away and she's never done it again because she learned immediately that that was not acceptable, but unfortunately missed the carpet. So now it's just a thing and I will get rid of that carpet.
I wonder if that spray you were talking about with the scent that they don't like earlier, I wonder if that would be a deterrent.
Yeah, I'm going to look into some more temporary measures, but the carpet's going to go regardless.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm sorry. It's a good wine. It's a bad wine.
It's a bad wine. Which makes it a
good wine. What about you, cheese?
Okay, so what do you call a dog magician?
Oh, I don't know, but I feel like I'm going to love it.
A labracadabrador.
I love it. That's ultimate cheese. My cheese is not so much a joke as a cheesy love story. There's a dog next door named Prince, and Millie and Prince love each other so much that after 2 years of trying, Prince has finally learned how to jump the fence. And so we'll come home some days and he'll just be in the backyard waiting for the girls to come outside.
Okay.
It's a cheesy love story. What's a fence between two lovers?
It's the east and Millie is the sun. Okay. The dessert following up with my carpet adventure is that it's actually not going to be nearly as expensive as I thought it was going to be to replace the floors. I got a quote it's cheaper than I thought. So it's in the nearer future than I had originally expected.
Nice. Did you check out, have you heard of End of the Roll?
That's where I went. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. I love it. My dessert it's actually kind of tied to a wine. The other day, the girls decided to squeeze out through a loose fence board and take them on a walk around the neighborhood, which is not dessert. But where the dessert comes in is my neighbor just sent me video footage of his front door camera that caught them going for the little jaunt. Headed right across his front step. It's a really cute video. They just stick together. It's super adorable. So I'm going to choose that as my dessert.
Oh. All right. And with that, we had two episodes about pets because, whew, pets are... We love our pets.
We love our pets.
So thank you for tuning in again. And thank you to our patrons and Patreon who support waste reduction efforts here in Edmonton, Alberta. Thank you to Change Toothpaste who support the podcast and make it free for us to do because we are all volunteers here.
And podcasting isn't free.
Emma, I think you've been listening to the podcast too much. If you want to get a hold of us, the email is becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram @becominglesspod, or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.
COVID squish.
COVID squish.
That's what we'll call it.